بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, a gathering of this nature and every such gathering wherein we speak of a wali of Allah, a pious saint of Allah, a friend of Allah Azza wa Jal, reminds us of the statement of Sufyan ibn Uyaynah rahimahullah. Sufyan ibn Uyaynah rahimahullah ta'ala was a great faqih, he was a great jurist, a great scholar, a great saint and personality on whom we rely for much of our masail and matters related to Islamic jurisprudence and related to hadith. He said regarding a gathering of this nature, عِنْدَ ذِكْرِ الصَّالِحِينَ تَنْزِلُ رَحْمَةً. He said a gathering wherein the salihin are mentioned, a gathering wherein people get together to speak about the pious, is such a gathering upon which the rahmah and special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. So it is no ordinary gathering, especially a gathering wherein we are speaking of Sayyidu Salihin, Imamul Mursaleen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who undoubtedly, it is our aqidah and our belief, is ranked as the highest in terms of his piety, in terms of his taqwa, in terms of his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. The month of Rabi'ul Awwal is a month that reminds us of the most significant events related to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that the month of Rabi'ul Awwal is the month wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. The most popular view is that he was born on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. We have entered the eve or the night of the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. There's a narration of Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam su'ila an sawmi al-yawm al-ithnayn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observe a fast on every Monday. And when he was asked, O Nabi of Allah, why do you observe this fast? Why are you so particular about fasting on a Monday? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Fihi wulittu wa fihi unzila alayya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, because I was born on a Monday. So one is the month of Rabi'ul Awwal is special because, of course, it marked the arrival of the greatest human being that walked on the surface of this earth. Number one. So that's the first speciality of this month. It is the greatest, or perhaps one of the greatest occurrences and incidences related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَفِيهِ أُنزِلَ عَلَيَّ. Revelation of the Qur'an started and commenced in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal on a Monday as well. So one is Monday, there's some significance with regards to Monday. The birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a Monday. Revelation upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place on a Monday, the month of Rabi'ul Awwal as well. So there's something special about the month, there's something special about the day as well. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration to Madinatul Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exited and he left Makkatul Mukarrama towards the end of the month of Safar. The month of Safar is the month that precedes the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And he traveled towards a cave. Many of us might have visited the cave in Makkatul Mukarrama, known as Ghar al-Thawr, the cave of al-Thawr. He remained in the cave of al-Thawr for 3 days, and then he exited from the cave and made his way to Madinatul Munawwara once the month of Rabi'ul Awwal had started. So the migration. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who said about the migration, هو الفارق بين الحق والباطل. The migration was that event that distinguished and that separated the truth from falsehood. The migration marked the greatest transition that we had witnessed as an ummah. The migration. It marked the greatest transition. It was a transition that the Muslims experienced. A transition of weakness to strength. Weakness in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And the moment they arrived in Medina al-Munawwarah, there was this transition from weakness to a position of strength and power. And it marked the beginning of the new Islamic state. It laid the foundation for Islam to come and for Islam to spread through different regions around the world. While in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Islam was, to a certain extent, Islam was confined. And the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rather restricted because of the efforts of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the moment he embarked upon Hijrah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Madinatul Munawwara in the month of Rabiul Awwal, it opened up the world to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen of Islam, the message with which he had come. So the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this blessed month. Then we learn the revelation and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's appointment as a Nabi of Allah, as the final messenger of Allah azza wa jal, also in the month of Rabiul Awwal. We learn of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration that had taken place in the month of Rabiul Awwal. The day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked into Madinatul Munawwara was also, of course, the month of Rabiul Awwal. As the Sahaba, well, at that time they were not yet Sahaba because many of them did not yet see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the people of Medina, they heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had resided or he settled or he took up camp in Quba, not too far away from Medina to Munawwara. So they would come out awaiting the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered into Medina to Munawwara. And one of the first people to spot Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a distance was a Yahudi. He was a Jewish man. فَلَمْ يَمْلِكْ الْيَهُودِي. The Yahudi, when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could not control himself because he understood the excitement and the anticipation that the Muslims of Medina al-Munawwara had expressed and the excitement that they had been experiencing during the last few days. So he could not control himself and he shouted out to the Ansar, بِأَعْلَى صَوْتِهِ. He shouted out at the top of his voice. What did he say? يَا مَعَاشِرَ الْعَرَبِ. هَذَا جَدُّكُمُ الَّذِي تَنْتَظِرُونَ. Here comes your father, the one for whom you all have been waiting for so many days with such great excitement and anticipation. So he explains, فَثَارُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ إِلَى الصَّلَاحِ. Immediately the Muslims went and they took their weapons to escort Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Madinatul Munawwara. فَتَلَقَّوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بِظَهْرِ الْحَرَّةِ. They went out. They received Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he entered into Madinatul Munawwara. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, he says, حتى نزل بهم في بني عمرو بن عوف. وذلك, when did this happen? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entry, and this is the point that I want to draw your attention to. The narrator of the hadith says, وذلك يوم الاثنين. That happened on a Monday. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entry into Madinatul Munawwara. So this new civilization that came into existence in the form of Madinatul Munawwara, the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and life in Madinatul Munawwara, and this great transition that had taken place in Islam, also took place on a Monday, في من شهر ربيع الأول, in the month of ربيع الأول. So, that was the third event in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that had taken place, not only in the month of ربيع الأول, but on the day of Monday. Then of course, the saddest event that had occurred in human history was the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that دخلت على أبي بكر radiallahu ta'ala anha. I once went to visit my father, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, the dear friend and father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he began asking Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha certain things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to refresh his memory and just to confirm certain things from her. So one of the questions he asked Aisha, did Aisha just remind me and tell me, في أي يوم توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, on which day did رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم pass away? On which day did رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم leave this world? What did she say? يوم الاثنين. It was Monday. Monday on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. So the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, while it is a moment that we experience and a moment to commemorate and remember the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to speak about the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it also reminds us of the saddest day that this ummah had to encounter, and that was the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which took place also on a Monday in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. The month of Rabi'ul Awwal, what does Rabi' mean? In Arabic, we have the four different seasons or names given to the four different seasons. Like we have in English, you have summer and you have autumn, you have winter and spring. In Arabic, summer will refer to it as Saif. Allah speaks of As-Saif, and As-Shita refers to winter. Allah speaks of it in Surah Al-Quraysh. Surah Al-Quraysh, li'ilafi Quraysh, ilafihim rihlat al-shita'i was-saif. Allah speaks of two journeys that the Arabs would undertake. Rihlat al-shita, a journey, a trade journey that they would undertake during al-shita, during winter, was-saif. And a trade journey that they would undertake during the summer, al-shita was-saif. And then you have autumn, which is known as kharif. And then you have spring, which is known as rabi'. Spring is known as rabi'. So rabi'ul awwal actually means the beginning of spring. Because in that part of the world, they named this month when the season of spring had commenced. So they called it Rabi'ul Awwal. So the month in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, or rather the season in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, was a season of spring. And spring comes after the bitter cold. Spring comes after winter. Everyone looks forward to spring. Everyone anticipates the arrival of spring. So while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the season of spring that followed the bitter cold, his birth itself was spring for humanity. And at what a time, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He himself was spring. After the bitter cold of shirk, polytheism, after the bitter cold of kufr and disbelief, after the bitter cold of degeneration in morals, after the bitter cold of a lack of justice, after a bitter cold and winter of trampling and violation of rights, came the spring in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what a suitable and what an apt season Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen for the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith, he says, إِنَّ مَثَلَ مَا بَعَثَنِي اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْعِلْمِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَصَابَ أَرْضًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my example and my similitude, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me with the guidance and the teachings and the deen with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me with, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my example is like that of ghayth. Ghayth. In Arabic, there are two words that are used for rain. One is matar. What we are experiencing now, we refer to it as matar. We don't refer to it as ghayth. There's a second type of rain that is called ghayth. What does ghayth mean, and what's the difference between matar and ghayth? And why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refer to himself as ghayth and not as matar? Because matar is the rain that we experience every now and again. There is no real need for the rain. Yesterday we had rain, the day before we had rain, today we have rain, this morning we had rain, and tonight we have rain. Alhamdulillah, it is rahmah from Allah. But this rain is called matar. We don't call it ghayth. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not refer to himself as matar, he referred to himself as ghayth. Why ghayth? What is ghayth? Ghayth is the rain that we experience after a lengthy drought. The first bit of rain that we experience, that is called ghayth. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came after a lengthy period of drought. Spiritual drought. There was a drought of morals. There was a drought of values. There was a drought in the beliefs. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really, and literally speaking, was that ghayth, that rain that the world needed across the globe, that people needed after a long period of drought. There was a drought and the resource came, and he really enlivened the hearts and enlivened beliefs, and he enlivened the morals and the values, and he enlivened the dealings and interactions that people ought to share with each other. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has referred to him as Ghais, as himself as Ghais. Brothers, how can we ever do justice to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the position of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How can we ever praise him as we ought to be praised when Allah himself said, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, we have elevated your mention beyond anyone's praise. No matter how much you praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter how much you read about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter how much you listen about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallah thumma wallah, it can never do justice to the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is beyond our praises. He is beyond our poetry. He is beyond our words. No words can ever description the rank and the position awarded to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah himself has said that we have elevated your praise, meaning to such a position and to such a place, no matter how much you are praised, no one can ever do justice to that lofty position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has awarded you by praising you. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. One of the famous scholars of Sirah, he has derived over 250 names of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is a principle in Arabic, they say, kathratul asma burhanun ala sharafil musamma. The more names are given to something, it denotes the rank and the special position of that thing. So the more names something is given, that only increases and denotes the special position that that thing shares, its significance. So he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given so many names for us to speak about and for us to mention. That alone shows the significance and the rank and the merit that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoys, the fact that he has been given so many different names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him some names. So 250 names, not all of them were given to him by Allah. There are names that were given to him by Allah, and those are some of the names that we would like to discuss this evening in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some names that were given to him by the Sahaba. There are some names that were given to him by the Tabi'een. There are some names that were given to him by the early scholars and the early ulama and fuqaha. All those names, of course, are good, and we can benefit from those names. But the primary names and the most important names, and the names that we should study and think about and contemplate on and mention and speak of, are the names that were given to him by Allah Azza wa Jal himself. In a hadith narrated by Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inna li asma," I have names. I have a number of names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has a number of names. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءَ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the best of names, of course. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِي أَسْمَاءَ, I also have a number of names. أَنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَأَنَا أَحْمَدْ. I am Muhammad and I am Ahmad. وَأَنَا الْمَاحِي, I am الْمَاحِي. Al-Mahi, one of the names of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of us are familiar with the name Muhammad. Many of us are familiar with the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahmad. Then there is a name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which means Al-Mahi. What does Al-Mahi mean? Al-Mahi means the obliterator. Mahu means to erase something, to delete something, to remove something. He is Al-Mahi, the remover, the obliterator, sent to remove and to obliterate what? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself explains, Alladhi yamhu Allahu bi al-kufr. I am the one through whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will obliterate and will remove and will annihilate kufr and disbelief. Wa ana al-hashir. Another name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means al-hashir. So Al-Mahi and Al-Hashir. Who is Al-Hashir? Al-Hashir is the one who will be resurrected. Now why is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam given this name when everyone else will be resurrected? We all will be resurrected from our graves, and we all will be raised up from our graves. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given the title Al-Hashir. Why? Alladhi yuhsharu an-nas ala qadami, because I am the one who will lead the resurrection, and everyone else will be resurrected after me. So I'm given the special title Al-Hashir. In a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ana awwalu man yanshaq anhu al-qabr. I am the very first person for whom the grave will split. In other words, I'm the first one who will come out of my grave on the day of Qiyamah. So that is Al-Hashir. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wa ana al-aqib. Another name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Al-Aqib. So Al-Mahi, Al-Hashir, and Al-Aqib. Al-Aqib, what does Al-Aqib mean? The one that comes right at the end. Laysa ba'di nabiyun. There's no Nabi to come after me. So these are some of the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now from these names, the name that we would like to speak about is the name Muhammad. We are the name. We give the name to our children. We give these names to our friends and to our colleagues. And time and again we call people by these names. Our grandchildren perhaps have these names. What does the name Muhammad really mean? Muhammad, when we study the name Muhammad, it is derived from three root letters. What are the root letters? Hamd, Ha, Mim, and Dal. These are the root letters of the name Muhammad. What does Hamd mean? We have Suratu Al-Hamd. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That surah is also known as Suratu Al-Hamd. The Quran starts with this word Al-Hamd. Al-Hamd is the name given or from which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is derived. Muhammad is derived from Hamd. And the first word uttered by the human being was Alhamdulillah, Hamd, by Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam, the first word that he uttered was what? Alhamdulillah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the ruh in the body of Adam alayhi salam, he sneezed. As a result of that, when this foreign object or this foreign body was placed within his physical body, as a result he sneezed. And when he sneezed, what did he say? Alhamdulillah, Hamd. So this is no ordinary word. From this word, the first word spoken by the human race, by our father Adam alayhi salam, from it did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala derive the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad. What does hamd mean? There are different words used in Arabic to denote praise. You have alhamd, you have madh, and you have shukr. What is the difference between shukr and madh and hamd? Shukr is when you thank or when you praise after you receive a gift or after you receive something. After you receive something and you wish to express praise and thanks, that is called what? Shukr. You don't call that hamd. Madh, on the other hand, Allah did not use madh for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's madh? Madh is to praise in order to receive something. So shukr, after you've received it. Madh, before you receive it. You praise somebody with the intention of getting something in return for the praise. That's madh. So what is hamd? Hamd combines them both. That's hamd. What is hamd? Whether you receive it or not, you are praising. That is the most comprehensive word that is used for praising. There is no equivalent to that in the English language or perhaps in any other language. Alhamd. And from Alhamd, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala derive the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How perfect is his name, let alone his seerah, let alone his life, let alone his teachings, let alone his physical appearance. His name is the most perfect name. Where can you ever find a name that's more perfect than the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just his name, there are books written on his name. There are discussions that have taken place on the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Muhammad, it denotes, what does it denote? Muhammad is what we call an object noun or a passive. You have the active participle, we refer to it as the passive participle. Simple to understand. The one praised. So you have the praiser, right? The one who praises. That's Hamid. Hamid, one who praises. So he's the active participle. Then you have Mahmud. Mahmud, the one praised. The passive participle. The done upon Mahmud. Hamid Mahmud. But Allah did not say Mahmud for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say Mahmud. Mahmud means the one praised. Allah did not call, although the name Mahmud is a beautiful name. Mahmud is a beautiful name, and we use the name Mahmud. You notice Mahmud and Hamd, same root letter. Hamada. But what's the difference between Mahmud and Muhammad? Both are the passive participle. Both are the done upon. Both mean the praised one. Why did Allah call him Muhammad and not Mahmud? Muhammad denotes what? Repetition in the praise. Subhanallah. Mahmud, you praise somebody once, that person becomes Mahmud. But Hammada, yuhammidu tahmid, fahuwa Muhammad, wa hummida yuhammadu tahmid, fahuwa Muhammad. What does Muhammad mean? Keep on being praised. There's hamd upon hamd. Just go back to what I said about hamd. So the hamd is so beautiful. It's the highest degree of praise. It's the most comprehensive praise, hamd. And that's happening over and over and over and over and over again on an individual. That individual becomes not Mahmud, but becomes Muhammad. That's the name Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what does Muhammad mean? Muhammad means that he's an individual on whom the most comprehensive form of praise takes place, and that praise is happening repeatedly over and over and over again with continuity. That is the name Muhammad. And this name Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it 4 times in the Quran, the name Muhammad. First, it's mentioned in Al Imran, ayah number 144. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Allah says Muhammad is only a messenger. And the Sahaba were reminded of this reality when he passed away. Some Sahaba could not believe the giant Umar, such a strong, powerful man. But when he was told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, he dropped to his knees. He says, my knees could not carry me. And then he warned the people. He says, whoever claims Muhammad has passed away, I will slay him and I will kill him. Muhammad has not died. Muhammad has gone to meet his Allah the way Musa alayhi salam went and had an appointment and meeting with Allah for 40 days. And then Abu Bakr recited this verse to Umar, that, O Umar, Allah has reminded us in the Quran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is only a Rasul. He's a messenger of Allah. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Many other messengers have passed before him. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Muhammad is not the father of any one of your menfolk. Muhammad is not the father of any one of your menfolk. But he is the Rasul of Allah, and he is Khatam al-Nabiyyin. He is the final messenger. Surah Al-Fath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah. Time and again, reminding us of the position of Muhammad. In all 3 ayat, Allah speaks of what? The Risalah, the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, in Surah Muhammad, there's a chapter in the Quran named after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Muhammad, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقِّ. وَهُوَ الْحَقِّ. Muhammad is the haqq. He is the truth. He is al-haqq. He's an embodiment of the truth. So these are the 4 ayat in the Quran where the name Muhammad appears. Then you find another name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is Ahmad. The name, the second name that we are familiar with, the name Ahmad. The name Ahmad appears once in the Quran. On whose tongue? The tongue of Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam was the only one. There's a difference of opinion with regards to Musa alayhi salam. When he spoke to his people about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did he use the name Muhammad or did he use the name Ahmad? There's a difference of opinion. Majority maintained the view that he said Muhammad, he did not say Ahmad, and the only one to say Ahmad was Isa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Isa alayhi salam, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Isa ibn Maryam said to the children of Israel, to the Israelite, إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا. I am the messenger of Allah, sent to you to affirm and to confirm what came before you, what Musa alayhi salam had brought. وَمُبَشِّرًا. And I've come to give you the good news, بِرَسُولِ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي, of a messenger who will come after me, ismuhu Ahmed. His name is Ahmed. Now, what's the difference between Muhammad and Ahmed? After understanding or having a brief understanding of the name Muhammad and what it means, let us understand what Ahmed means. So we spoke of Muhammad as being what? Who can remind me? Just checking you guys away. One who is continuously and repeatedly praised, but the praise also is hamd, which is a comprehensive praise. It doesn't get more comprehensive than that. What does Ahmed mean? Ahmed is what we call a superlative noun, ismu tafdil. So there you had the passive participle, the done upon, right? Praise is taking place on him. Now you have Ahmed, which appears on the scale af'al, which is what? A superlative noun. Like in English, we have superlative nouns. He is the biggest. He is the smallest. He is the best. That is a superlative noun to denote that a quality is found in somebody to such an extent that it is not found in anyone else at that extent and at that level. So Ahmed is a superlative noun. Subhanallah. So what does it mean? While there's continuity of comprehensive praise upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that praise is Ahmed, the best level of praise. It doesn't get higher than that. Subhanallah. That is Ahmed. The one who is praised, and the praise that is continuously coming onto him is the best form of praise. You can't get a praise that is better than the praise of Ahmed. And that is what is meant by these two beautiful names. The true praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we praise him. And we hear of his praises. And we hear how Allah has praised him. And we should continuously praise him. And our words of praise do not elevate him in any way, but our words become elevated by praising him. Our speech becomes valuable by taking his name. No value is added to his merit by us mentioning him. But when will his praise reach its pinnacle, will reach its highest point ever? Is on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, there's a lengthy narration. People will come out from their graves. And when they come out from their graves, and they will be resurrected, and you'll have the entire human race over there. Billions and billions of people crowded together. And when they realize that Qiyamah is about to commence, Allah will have not yet made his appearance. Malaika will not be there. It will just be the human race. Everyone, including the Anbiya, alayhimu salatu wassalam. And they will realize then what is happening. And the anxiety will reach such a high level that they will no longer be able to wait for the reckoning to commence and for Allah to make his appearance and to start the reckoning. Think about that matriculant. The matriculants are busy with the exams right now. And when the exams terminate, there's a period of time. They have to wait for their result. The anxiety and the worry and the concern is sometimes so overwhelming until they receive the results that they cannot even live a normal life during that period while they are waiting for the results. Can you imagine Akhirah when you come out of your qabr and you want to know what are the results? You have gone through an imtihan. You have gone through a life of tests and trials every step of the way. And now you want to see what are the results. How have you done? Because here is now eternal favor or eternal failure or success. So the anxiety will reach unprecedented levels. So the people, they'll say, they'll discuss amongst themselves, let's go to Adam. Let us go to Adam alayhi salam and ask him to intercede on our behalf. Picture this. So the whole of creation, or they'll have representatives, and they all go to their father Adam alayhi salam. The narration says, فَكُلُّهُمْ يَحِيدُ عَنْهَا. Every Nabi, they'll go to Adam. Adam alayhi salam will say, listen here, I know I am the father of mankind. I enjoyed certain privileges that no other human being enjoyed. Adam alayhi salam, we know that there are certain privileges that he enjoyed that not even Rasulullah had enjoyed. He already lived Jannah. Allah created him with his very hands. Allah blew the ruh within him. All the malaika prostrated before him. Privileges no other human being enjoyed. But Adam alayhi salam will excuse himself. He will say, look, I do not enjoy that level of closeness and proximity to Allah that I can ask Allah to start the reckoning and make his appearance. So he'll send them to another Nabi. And they'll go to Nuh. And they'll all come to Nuh alayhi salam. And Nuh alayhi salam will turn them away. And they'll go to who? They'll go to Musa. And they'll go to Ibrahim. And they'll go to Isa. I mean, these are not ordinary anbiya. These are giants. And they'll all excuse themselves. And they'll tell the entire human race, go to that man. And they'll point to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they'll come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about this. You know, sometimes you need some work to be done. Right? And as an ordinary person, inaccessible. You can't get it done directly from such a high authority. So you go to somebody who enjoys a certain level of authority. And you come up to me and say, listen, I need your assistance with this matter of mine. He says, look, you know what? I don't even have the ability. My authority and my position is such that it doesn't allow me to access the highest authority. Go to this one. And you go to the next. And he sends you to somebody else. And you go to the next. Each one higher than the other. And then eventually you are sent to the person who has direct access to the highest authority. Imagine the level of reverence you'll have for that man. Imagine the level of respect you'll have for him. Imagine the praises that you will have for him. Imagine the entire creation witnessing this, that this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He holds the key to access Allah Azza wa Jal. And they will come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what will he say? He will say, Ana laha, ana laha. I am the one who can get this done. That's al-maqam al-mahmood. You know in the Quran, and we make, after the adhan, we make the dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma, wa salati al-qa'ima. آتِ مُحَمَّدًا الْوَسِيلَةَ وَالْفَضِيلَةَ وَابْعَثْهُ الْمَقَامَ الْمَحْمُودَ الَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ. Oh Allah, you give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-maqam al-mahmood. We spoke about Mahmood. Give him al-maqam, the most praiseworthy station that you have promised him. What is the most praiseworthy station that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoy? That moment. That moment. The entire human race will stand there in awe. And then they will understand and realize who this man is, who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. He will fall down in prostration and he will spend a lengthy period in prostration and supplicating to Allah and making dua to Allah until eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his appearance on the request of who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone will be there. Adam alayhi salam will see that. Nuh alayhi salam will see that. Musa alayhi salam will see that. Ibrahim, Isa alayhi salam, Shu'aib, Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. Those who came before him, the billions that came before him, those who lived in his era, the billions that came after him, those who loved him, those who spoke of him, those who remembered him, those who hated him. On that day, every single human being will praise him. And then they will understand that the level of praise that he enjoys and the rank that he enjoys before Allah Azza wa Jal. And then they will understand the meaning of Muhammad. Muhammad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of that position. Asa ay yab'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you up to maqaman mahmud, to that praiseworthy station. And that is the praiseworthy station that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enjoy in akhirah. And on that occasion, we will truly come to understand the level of praise that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoys, the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for him, and the relationship that he enjoys with Allah azza wa jal. The malaika will witness in awe. Jibreel, Israfil, Israel, Mikael, the hamalatul arsh, wa yahmilu arsh rabbika fawqahum yawmaydin thamaniya. The eight huge angels that will carry the throne of Allah, they will witness this. The entire creation will witness the special love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the bond that he enjoys with Allah azza wa jal. Two takeaways this evening, Saturday night. Everyone is quite familiar with that word on a Saturday night, takeaways. I got some other takeaways for you. Right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our link to Allah. That's it. On the day of Qiyamah, and a greater extent on this day. Just like on the day of Qiyamah, the whole human race, every one of us will run to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that listen, we need access to Allah. Intercede on our behalf. In this dunya as well, we cannot access Allah azza wa jal unless we do so through the lifestyle, the pattern, the teaching, and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah says the most perfect example lies for you in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let me ask myself, every year I listen to a number of talks related to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is my action plan? We must have an action plan. And the best action plan I can have for myself is to start emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come with teachings that are only confined to our acts of worship, which makes it so much easier for us to emulate him. Throughout your day, there are so many moments throughout your 24-hour day in which you can emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the time you get up right to the time you go to bed. So let me set a target for myself. 1 year has passed. Another year will come. Another year will go. What is my target for the next year? There are certain sunnahs, whether it is the sunnah related to dressing, whether it is the sunnah related to his eating, whether it is the sunnah related to his drinking, whatever sunnah it may be, every sunnah has an enormous amount of benefit in it. We do not have to wait for people to tell us what are the benefits. Recently, over the perhaps maybe a year ago, there was a certain company in the UK that is promoting the use of the miswak. Many of us might have seen them. They are promoting the use of the miswak because they found it to be the most effective means of cleansing the mouth and strengthening the gums. A non-Muslim company, right? That's the one. The other thing is, a few months back, there was an interview that was held on the BBC broadcasting station, right? And there was this professor, a non-Muslim, and he was interviewed with regards to intermittent fasting. And he says the best method of intermittent fasting is to fast on a Monday and Thursday. And what did he say? He said the Prophet Muhammad taught this to his followers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't need to hear it from anyone else to tell us that it is the best. The fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, he practiced it, whether he told us the benefit of it or not, it is the best. So let me set a target for myself. I know what sunnah I need to improve on and which sunnah I can slowly adopt within my life. There are many, there are millions of sunnahs. As I said, throughout your day, there are sunnahs that you can learn of and you can start adopting. So set a target for yourself and look at yourself 1 year later. Whether it is 10 new sunnahs in my life, it brings you closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Emulation is the number one evidence or the one number one proof of love. True emulation is a sign of true love. When you truly love somebody and you are truly impressed by somebody and you truly admire somebody, you'll want to do what that somebody does. You'll want to live like how that somebody lives. You'll want to eat what that somebody ate. You'll want to do what that somebody does throughout his life. That's love. That's general love. We all understand that. That's emulation. Emulation is the strongest sign of love. So that's the first takeaway for us all this evening. Right? So set a target for yourself. Whatever sunnahs are manageable. The beauty about the sunnah is the simplest lifestyle. The simplest. Study the sunnah. It's the simplest lifestyle. No formalities, no unnecessary cost, no unnecessary expenses. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived the simplest of lives. Why? So that it could be inclusive. A lifestyle that's inclusive. Everyone can act upon the lifestyle of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the beauty. So there's nothing difficult about it. It's just a matter of application and putting those sunnahs into practice. So that's the first thing. Let me set that as a target. This Rabi'ul Awwal. Number two is durood upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know what's so special about durood? Durood in Arabic is what? We call it salat. As-salat ala Rasul. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, salat. The prayer that we observe is also called salat. Why are both called salat? Because prayer links you to who? To Allah. Salah means a link. The literal meaning of salah, silah. Silatun salah. That's why silah rahmi. Silah rahmi, to maintain family ties, is also called silah, from salah. Salah means that which links you. So why is salah called salah? Because it links us with our Creator. Salat ala Rasul is also called salat. Why? It links. It's your direct link to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How amazing is that? No other ummah enjoys this privilege that they have a means through which they can remain linked to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is such a great, great ni'mah that we enjoy. Allah has given us a channel to link ourselves with Him, Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that is through the 5 daily salahs that we pray. And Allah has given us a salah, a channel through which, a means by which we can keep ourselves linked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is that? Durood, salat wa salam upon Rasulullah. That's what it is. It's maintaining the relationship. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on the day of Qiyamah, the one who will be closest to me is the one who sends the most amount of durood upon me. Why? In this world, who do you recognize? If there's somebody you knew from varsity days and from school days, and that's the last time you saw him when there was graduation, there was no relationship between the two of you for a long, lengthy period of time, you see him after 20, 30 years, you won't recognize the guy. You won't know him. Why? There was no salah. There was no link. There was no communication. So this allows us to communicate with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because every time you send durood upon him, what happens? Your name is taken. So on the day of Qiyamah, he says, hey, I know you. You were maintaining the relationship. You were keeping up the relationship. I heard your name coming to me all the time, your name and the name of your father. So we are the beneficiaries of salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us, if I'm not doing it on a daily basis, let me start on a daily basis. It takes up again salat ala Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, samat al-dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, very, very easy. You don't need wudu to perform salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't have to be in a state of purity. Even if you're in a state of major impurity, you can still send salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while you are walking, while you are driving. But take our time, daily time, to send salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to maintain the relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the two things in order to enhance our relationship with Muhammad and Ahmed. Muhammad, the one who is continuously, repeatedly being praised with the best form of praise that ever can exist in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and grant us the ability to practice on what we have heard this evening. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.